you're talking about it.
It's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses. Just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
All righty, top of the morning. Interesting day. We said when the Olympics started that there could be some danger, if you will.
Well, yeah.
And it's proven to be true.
Rio, not one of your more, let's say it's not one of your more ruly cities.
Yeah.
It's sometimes a bit.
It's more in the unruly.
Yeah,
category.
Sometimes a bit unruly. And so, what is it? Three of the Olympic athletes were robbed.
Four?
Mm-hmm.
Four swimmers robbed early Sunday morning. They had the audacity to be in a taxi cab.
Yeah, exactly.
Cab was pulled over. Perpetrator showed a badge. The car that did the pulling over had no lights, no
markings. But they also had
markings,
guns.
No. Yes.
They also had guns, so they really didn't need no stinking badges.
No, we don't need no stinking. Well, they had a badge. Mm-hmm. They just didn't have a car. And they told three of the swimmers to get down, face down. Lochte said, "I'm not doing that." Guy pointed a gun at his forehead. He goes, "Where do you want me to lay?" They stole all their wallets and money and all that stuff. Yeah. International Olympic Committee, who were fools for putting the Olympics in Rio in the first place, said that didn't really happen. They refused to acknowledge
that
it was
so
24
weird.
Hours.
That was so weird. I got an update from, I think, CBS Sports sent me one, and so did the Associated Press,
yep.
That said Ryan Lochte, others have been held up, or they were robbed or whatever.
They always stressed
held, yeah, held up
point.
At gunpoint in Rio. And then about an hour later, there came something from the Associated Press that said the International Olympic Committee had just said that didn't actually happen, that apparently it was a hoax. And then not 30 minutes later, they came back and said the U.S. Olympic Committee says it's no hoax. It did happen.
Yeah, and then we've all seen the interview with Lochte on the beach, standing there going, "Yeah, the guy put the gun in my forehead. I was mm-hmm. scared." Yeah. So that happened, and the Australians have been the big target. They must stay in a bad place or something. They've been robbed several times.
They're in one of those dorms that apparently, people
yeah.
pull the fire alarm, and then when everyone goes outside, they raid their rooms.
Two Paralympics competitors were robbed. One guy was... A photographer was beaten. Really? Welcome to Rio.
I guess.
Michael Phelps came on and said, "I've been here several times. Nothing ever goes wrong here."
Mm-hmm. Well, not for him.
Well,
anyway.
Yeah, that's because he was home with his wife and kid. His fiance and kid.
Did you know that they have to pay taxes on their Olympic medals?
$9,900 for a gold. That's the...
But they also get...
What they're worth.
They get $25,000 from the U.S. Olympic Committee when they win a gold medal, athletes do, $15,000 if they win a silver medal, and $10,000 for bronze. Apparently, a lot of countries do this.
And then the medals are worth.
And Singapore, apparently, money. Singapore has said if one of their athletes wins a gold medal, they'll award them somewhere in the neighborhood of $700,000, but they're not worried because nobody from Singapore has ever medaled in anything. So they're just.
Guy won a gold medal from Singapore.
When was this?
Over the weekend, that young kid that Michael Phelps had his picture taken with.
Oh, okay.
He won a gold medal, so he got $700,000.
Well, if that's the case, I suppose that's what happened.
Then. In the one, Phelps tied for the second with two other guys.
Yeah,
the guy that won it, I'm pretty sure it was from Singapore.
Hmm. I did not know that.
Yeah.
America's Olympic medalists have to pay state and federal taxes on the prize money they get for winning.
Mm-hmm.
Olympians also have to pay tax on the value of the medals themselves. Gold and silver medals are made mostly of silver, while bronze medals are composed of mostly copper. Rio's medals are among the largest and heaviest ever and contain about 500 grams of either silver or copper. The value of a gold medal is, they say, $564. Silver is worth $305, and the bronze is worth... apparently an amount small enough not to be taxed.
Yeah.
Proposed federal legislation would make the value of any medal or prize money awarded during the Olympics or Paralympics exempt from income taxes. The bill was passed by the Senate last month and is being considered by the House. It would apply to earnings from January 1st, 2016 to January 1st of 2021. So all of the people winning medals at this current Olympics would not have to pay. So there you go.
Yeah.
If it passes.
Yep.
That seems like a weird thing to tax somebody on. Oh, you want a gold medal, and let's see, the value of that is
$9,900.
Here's what you owe.
Yeah. $9,900 for the gold. I'm trying to look that up.
Mm.
And swimming gold medalists, yada, yada, yada. And they none of them have the swimming gold medalists. All they have is our team medals. Hmm. Whatever. Anyway, I'm pretty sure the guy from Singapore
won.
I'll keep trying to look it up, but probably have no success whatsoever. It's 8:45. Time to check traffic for the last time. Brought to you by Cloverdale Plumbing. There's never a right time for a plumbing emergency. Thankfully, Cloverdale offers round-the-clock plumbers. Go to CloverdalePlumbing.com. And we'll be there. Here's Ron.
A 4-year-old girl was attacked by a mountain lion while camping with her family here in Idaho. Details what happened next coming up on 670 KBOI.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
All right, KBOI News Time, 8:51. Joseph Schooley was the guy's name who beat Michael Phelps.
Isn't that funny, though? I think I read that on either Friday or Saturday.
Yeah.
And they mentioned Singapore because they were offering $753,000 if somebody won a gold medal.
Yeah. Nobody from Singapore had ever done it.
And over the weekend, he did. So he is in line to get $753,000 from the government.
Yep. Nabbed his country's first Olympic gold, winning the 100-meter butterfly, which is Phelps's, that's his wheelhouse right there, with an Olympic record time of 50.39 seconds, swam side by side with his idol Phelps, who came in second at 51.14. He was tied with two others. It's like a dream come true. I'm honored and privileged to have swum alongside these great names. I need this to sink in. Well, you got $750,000.
Yeah, no kidding.
To help you do that. And Singapore went berserk.
You can sink into a nice comfy chair.
Yeah. You know, Singapore. And I showed you the picture 8 years ago of Michael Phelps and Schooley when he was just a little kid. And Phelps gave him encouragement throughout his swimming career. And one of the reasons.
Here, let me ask you this. Have you ever seen a race of any kind before, whether it be track and field or swimming, where there was one gold medal and then three silvers?
No. I've never seen that. That's a first for me.
I've seen a dead heat with two gold medals awarded, and then they give two golds and then a bronze.
Yeah.
But this one, you know, one gold and three silvers and no bronze because, you know.
He's an interesting kid.
We don't want to give it to the guy who finished fifth.
Yeah. He's an interesting kid. He's the grandson of high jumper Lloyd Valberg, Singapore's first Olympian in 1948, enrolled in the Bull School in Florida. A year after meeting Phelps, because Phelps said, you know, you need to get some training. And
the place to get it
is
the United States.
Yeah, is the United States. He is the first Singaporean athlete to be granted deferment by the government from his compulsory 2-year conscription in October of 2013. In other words, you have to go to public service for a couple of years.
Possibly the military or some other alternative service, I think.
Ms. Lee Biwa, member of parliament, said on her Facebook page she was glad she had asked Singapore's defense ministry to let Schooling defer his national service obligations to let him train. Both you and Zing Kwa Wen, another Singapore swimmer at Rio, had used their deferment wisely and will make us proud. And so they did. That's pretty cool.
There you
cool
go.
Story. One of the good stories from the Olympics. And you know what? He wasn't beaten up or robbed or any of that. despite the fact it was in Rio.
Well, and that will be completely up to that'll be up to the government of Singapore whether they charge him a tax or not.
Yeah, we originally talked about, and it's weird that they're taxed on that.
It is.
Yeah. How much do they get for a gold? What did you say?
$500 and some dollars, I think.
No, $500?
Yeah.
That's all?
That's what it said.
I mean, that's how much money they earn for getting a gold?
No, that they...
That's how much they're taxed.
They earn $25,000. The gold medal itself, they said, is worth $564. But they said that... No, they get awarded $25,000 per gold.
Oh.
So with Michael Phelps, that's what? He gets well over $100,000.
Yeah. Well, he won 5 gold and 2 silvers.
Okay. So he's in line for close to 100 and...
Yeah. So
he made... 155,000, I guess.
Basically made his skip for the year.
Well, that plus, you know, he's going to be on some cereal boxes.
I had a story earlier today that said the gold medals were worth $9,100.
Hmm.
It seems like, what's gold an ounce? $1,200?
$1,100? I'm not sure what it is right now.
Yeah, something like that.
Not actually owning any. I never bothered to check.
Yeah, exactly. So who do we have on the line? We'll get him on very quickly here. Rich? Rich, you're on 670 KBOI. Got about a minute.
Okay, well, every gold medal that an American athlete wins is worth $2 or $3 million. That's how much they end up making for any gold medal. Some of them vastly more than that if they're a figure skater or a gymnast. Yeah. And I don't know why it's weird taxing them. I mean, if they win a bicycle on the Price is Right, they have to pay tax.
That's money earned outside the country. Come on. Didn't earn that money in the U.S.
It doesn't matter where you earn your money. You're a U.S. citizen, you pay U.S. taxes on it. I don't know why that's any different than anybody else.
All right.
Winning anything.
Thanks, you buzz killer, you.
Oh, well.
Rich is always pleased to tell us we're full of crap.
Well, that's true. But in one way, he's got a point there.
He does.
It's no different than anybody else. On the other hand, if you win an Olympic gold medal, that's quite a bit different than an awful lot of people.
Well, I was just, my whole deal with that story there was they shouldn't be taxed on the worth of the gold medal.
Okay.
I mean, most of the money they earn on the medals,
of course,
come from this country,
soldiers,
not from foreign
soldiers
countries.
Get taxed on their salary, too. So.
It's true, they just don't make any money. It's 8:56.
If you're talking about it,
it's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses. Just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho. 670 KBOI.
906. It is Monday morning, Paul J. and Chris. And yes, we do agree that income taxes should be paid on monies earned by medalists in the Olympic Games. But I think it's a little nitpicky that...
That they have to pay taxes on the medals?
On the actual medals, yeah. That's kind of where I was coming from.
A lot of things going on at the Olympics, kind of behind the scenes. You know, Gabby Douglas, the gymnast.
Yeah, so a lot of people thought she shouldn't have made the team this year.
Yeah, and her mother wants to know why she's being bullied on social media, according to her mother, for everything she does. Because there are trolls on social media. Don't pay attention to them.
Yeah, there are. Just turn it off. I don't get it. I'm being bullied. Turn it off.
And
don't look at it.
Russia's...
And no, you shouldn't bully people.
Nadezhda Bashina from Russia got a 0.0 on a dive. That doesn't often happen, especially at the Olympics.
Well, that's what you and I would get. Because you can't go in. Can you go minus?
I don't know.
We might.
How many points for a belly flop?
Well, I saw some bad dives. And I hate diving. And so I was watching it yesterday, and they were diving. And I'm going, you know what? Why am I here? I'm going outside. Then I went outside. And it was smoky.
You know, the Michael Phelps, they talk about his game face.
Mm-hmm.
He gets that angry face or that mean face when he's about to...
He's just concentrating.
He's just concentrating.
Yeah.
But somebody got a large tattoo of of Michael Phelps' game face.
It's pretty pretty good rendition of it.
Saturday, the U.S. went over 1,000 gold medals for the full history of the Olympics, mm-hmm. which the modern Olympics go back to 1896.
Right. First nation to do so.
And let's see.
A lot of interesting stuff going around with the Olympics.
There was a badminton player from Australia who got knocked out of the, got knocked out of competition, lost.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said celebrated or whatever by ordering just like everything on the McDonald's menu.
Yeah. Congress has tried to give Olympic athletes a tax break. In 2012, Senator Marco Rubio of Florida introduced a bill to shield medals and bonuses from Uncle Sam, but it died. We can all agree that these Olympians who dedicate their lives to athletic excellence should not be punished when they achieved it, Rubio said. This year, Senators John Thune, a Republican from South Dakota, and Chuck Schumer, a Democrat from New York, sponsored a similar bill to eliminate taxes on Olympic and Paralympic athletes. The bill passed the Senate in July. Our Olympian and Paralympic athletes should be worried about breaking world records, not breaking the bank when they earn a medal, Schumer said.
Oh, I see. Yeah, it shouldn't end up being a financial hardship for someone if they win a gold medal and decide not to sell it.
Yeah. As for Phelps and his maximum Olympic tax bill, just on his medals of $55,440, he probably won't have a hard time paying up his net worth. You ready?
Yeah.
$55 million.
Yeah, he won't have a problem.
No. I think he's good.
There's a lot of sacrifice that went into that.
Yeah. Well, we can only have so much news without going into the bad side of the news. Police said an 18-year-old man was shot.
I thought you just meant the election.
No. And seriously injured at a Milwaukee protest on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Officers used an armored vehicle to retrieve the man and take him to a hospital as tense skirmishes erupted for a second night following Saturday's police shooting of a black man.
Well, and the only thing that authorities in Milwaukee have told everyone so far is that they've reviewed and this time they have body cam from a police officer, and they've reviewed it, and they said the guy had a gun in his hand and was not dropping the gun and was, apparently going to shoot his way out of things.
Mayor Tom Barrett said a still image pulled from the footage clearly showed a gun in 23-year-old Skyville Smith's hand as he fled a traffic stop on Saturday. I want the community to know that, Barrett said. He also called for understanding for Smith's family. A young man lost his life yesterday afternoon. No matter what the circumstances are, his family has to be hurting.
Well, sure.
All right. I read a tweet to you this morning, which was sent, by the way, by a black man, and he said, in Milwaukee, over the weekend, there were 9 shootings and 4 murders,
mm-hmm.
and we're burning the town down because a policeman shot a man who was carrying a gun.
Well, I can understand that logic, but I can also understand, and the Black Lives Matter people go through this all the time.
Yeah, it's oranges and cranberries.
Well, sort of, yeah, because they're not saying that. They're not having a protest to protest all the murders, although they don't like any murder, obviously. They're having a protest because they think that the police ought to be the last person or the last people who would shoot you. You know, they should be there to protect you if you're not actually guilty of something. On the other hand, yeah, I don't know. People have died in custody who were guilty of something. People have died who weren't guilty of something. So there's a lot that goes wrong or can go wrong when the police are, pulling somebody over or investigating a crime. But I think their whole point, though, is when citizens kill each other, that's too bad. And obviously they should be you know, they should be given a court date and go to prison if necessary, if they're guilty. But I think what they're kind of, you know, commenting on is the fact that it never seems like anybody ever finds a policeman guilty.
A lot of times
they don't have proof. They just have popular opinion, and juries don't go by popular opinion.
Yeah, and a lot of times it's white police shooting black men. Mm-hmm. The officer who shot Smith is a black man. Police chief said he wasn't sure what prompted the stop and described Smith's car as behaving suspiciously.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my question to you, the officer shot him when he turned toward him with a gun in his hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That brings up a lot.
See where I'm going here?
Yeah,
do the police have to wait until they're shot at?
No, they don't. If they order someone to put the weapon down and the guy raises the weapon, you know, they shoot. But
which is apparently what happened here.
Yeah.
It was in his hand. He was raising up with it. The police chief said. He said the officer had told Smith to drop the gun, but he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
It was unclear how many rounds the officer fired. Smith was hit in the chest and arm.
Yeah. You're allowed to own a gun. You're allowed to carry a gun. However, when a policeman is on scene and orders you to drop the gun or to do something else with it, you are supposed to comply,
mm-hmm.
with the possible exception if that policeman happens to be trying to overthrow the government violently.
Yeah. KBOI News Time, 9:15. You're listening to Idaho Talks Live. KBOI Rewards Code, Medal, MEDAL. Go to 670kboi.com, enter metal, and earn today's 5,000 rewards points. Let's go to the phones and Gary in Emmett. Gary, good morning.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, Gary.
I don't know that it's still current because I'm not a tax attorney, but there was a time when if you stayed outside of the United States for a certain minimum.
Yeah, it has to be more than 6 months, I think.
And then you did not pay taxes on the money you made. I believe they now charge people on the money they bring back. If they bring back a bunch of money, it is an income tax. It's like the same thing they do to business. You know how there's trillions of dollars overseas. And because if those companies tried to bring the money back into the United States, which would stimulate the economy because it is literally trillions of dollars, they can't because they would be taxed or there would be a fee to bring that money back in.
Yeah, and also on state income taxes, I know that if you earn money in Utah and live in Idaho, if you stay in Utah, like I think it's more than 6 months of the year, you don't have to pay Idaho taxes.
Well,
the money you made in Utah.
You know, double taxation.
Yep.
And unfortunately, where possible and where people haven't made enough noise, the government is very, very well capable and will do double taxation any chance they can get away with it.
Double taxation without double representation.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, for instance, you pay sales tax on a set of tires for your car.
Yep.
But you pay federal excise tax before you pay the sales tax.
Yep.
Yeah, and you're taxed on the total amount of the purchase price, which includes a tax. So, you know.
Yes, look at the gasoline thing sometimes on how much tax you pay on a gallon of gas and how many different entities get those taxes.
It's amazing, you know, the government will take what it can, always has, and tends to always take it.
And then it's not getting smaller. I think we can say that safely.
Well, I think it was John Lennon that said something about it. He says, my advice to those who die, declare the pennies on your eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, that was Lennon, I think.
Yep.
Amazing stuff. Thanks, Gary.
You bet.
Got a few quick instant messages here. Bob said, which we knew about in Milwaukee, he said the black man was shot by a black officer.
Yep.
And Curtis of Boise wanted to know, has women's boxing occurred yet? Wondering if, he says Carissa, but I think her name is Claressa, and they call her T-Rex. Has one, she's, it's Claressa Shields, I believe is her name, and they're scheduled for, I think, Wednesday at 11:30 Mountain Time. There's going to be women's boxing in her semifinal.
This is Thursday? Is that what you said?
Yeah, 75 kilograms or whatever the designation is.
You look good, baby.
And
you weigh about 60 kilograms?
Hey, have you lost some kilograms?
Yeah.
The disgruntled vet says in South America, it may have been an off-duty cop. Talking about the guy that robbed the swimmers. He says, I got robbed by the chief of police in Baja. They're all crooked. And South America, quite a ways from Baja, but Baja, south of the border. So.
Well, yeah, and I told you about the gun toters at Zihuatanejo.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's a, I'm going to have you explain this, Todd. Todd got a phone call about taxation. Here's Todd with 1D.
So he was saying that... if you're overseas, you'd have to be over there between 300 and 365 days.
And to not pay taxes?
I guess so.
Okay.
And if you do come back, they would just tax you on the first $90,000 that you bring with you.
So if you go overseas, great things happen. You make a million and a half, or let's say half a million. You're only taxed on $90,000.
According to this caller, yes.
Okay. All right.
Well, there you go.
Anyway, but we don't know. That may or may not be true.
Well, we started this talking about the fact that when, like Michael Phelps, when he wins a gold medal, he has to not only pay taxes on the money that he gets from the government. Along, a lot of people don't know about that anyway. They think that because it's amateur sports or used to be amateur sports only.
Yeah.
That there should be no monetary prize. And of course, they voted back before the 1992 Olympics to start letting professionals. In just about every sport to compete as well.
Thus the dream team, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, yeah, exactly. And but they have to also pay a tax on the price or the value of the medal, which...
You
could argue they want it for themselves, but you can also argue they want it for their country. But,
varying amounts of tax on these medals.
But as I said, if you're in the military and you make money, they tax you on that, so...
Yeah. Well, we have Jim and Eagle on the line, but we're going to have to hold you till after the news, Jim. We only got like 30 seconds left before we have to take a break here.
That's just enough time to remind you that Hostess Deep Fried Twinkies have gone on sale nationwide at Walmart.
And also that the business breakfast mañana morning in the Aspen Room of the Riverside Hotel, the CEO of Fisher's Technology, Chris Taylor, will be the guest speaker. Seats are limited. Go to KBOI.com. Click on the business breakfast link to RSVP. Get yourself a free breakfast. KBOI News Time, 9:26.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
All right, we're back. KBOI News Time, 9:36. Monday morning, Paul, Jay, and Chris. Interesting report. A record 60 million adult Americans live with their parents or grandparents.
60 million?
60 million.
So that's a fifth of the population.
Well, it says here, percentage of Americans living in multi-generational households grew from 12%, to 19%. So basically, a fifth. A new study accounts households of at least two generations of adults ages 25 years or older living under one roof. 28% of Asian Americans live in multi-generational households, with Latinos and African Americans clocking in at 25%.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That is economically driven, I would think, because a lot of times you have...
and somewhat culturally driven, too.
Yeah, culturally driven... Everybody rows the boat.
Mm-hmm.
So they all stay around. They all chip in. you know, until they get married.
You know, and that is a relatively economic way to live.
No question.
However, a lot of Americans, you know, just would rather have their freedom, and to them, freedom means, you know, fewer responsibilities, fewer people I have to look out for, fewer people that I have to answer to, stuff like that. However, I still think the benefits outweigh anything like that, like the lack of privacy.
Well, kind of. My daughter couldn't wait to get A, out of the house, B, out of Boise.
Mm-hmm.
And now that she's had, you know, more than a year away, she's going, really don't like the weather here. I could work remotely mm-hmm. for the same company in Boise. Maybe I'll move back. You know, and a lot of it you know, depends on your personal situation.
True.
And all of that. Figures are remarkably.
But
go ahead.
I think more than ever, those figures, though, now are a lot of, you know, kids who have graduated from high school and have either gone to college or not, but at any rate are still living with their parents almost to the age of 30 or even beyond.
Yeah. Natalie hung around with a group of girls, you know, like half a dozen
mm-hmm.
throughout
school.
Throughout high school and
junior high, high school,
and college and summers and all that. None of them live at home. And it's not because they despise us. She likes to come home and visit.
Right.
But they're all just achievers.
Yeah.
So none of them live at home. Figures are higher than those for whites. Latinos, African Americans, 25% living at home. 28% of Asian Americans. And for whites, 15%. So
and
I must admit that all of the
and I'm guessing that
girls
may,
in a Rat Pack are white.
That could be somewhat cultural, but it could be very much economical, as you said.
No question. Study also found young adults without college degrees are more likely to be living with their parents than those with advanced degrees.
A lot of people
might have thought that would be different because of money owed for student loans,
etc. Good point. But when you do have an advanced degree, you tend to get a higher paying job.
And tend to get hired.
Assuming you can get hired.
Yeah. Nearly one in five Americans lives in multi-generational households, in a growing trend, that's been on the uptick since 1980.
Does it count if you're the parents and you have children? I guess that's a multi-generational household.
Say that again?
If you're just parents with children who are, like, young.
No, that doesn't count.
Oh, that doesn't count? Okay.
No, just this.
Only adults and their parents.
Yeah.
Okay.
How do they put it here? Households at least two generations adults aged 25 years or older.
There we go.
Yeah. Yeah, so that.
You know, because I was going to say.
If you've
got children, then your house is multi-generational, but.
Yeah.
You can't just leave and tell them to go out on their own.
No.
So
25, that'll give them a year or two out of college. In 2014, so it's been going on since 1980. It's been getting higher and higher.
Yeah.
In 2014, a record 60.6 million people, or 19% of the U.S. population, lived in households with two or more adult generations.
Yeah.
Up from 51.5 million in 2009.
I saw an interesting statistic over the weekend, and it said in 1970. Okay, and this was based on somebody saying that, you know, back in my day, I worked my way through college, and I don't know what your problem is. You know, saying that to it.
See, that's kind of me,
right? In 1970, when this guy was going to college, Yale University, cost about $2,500 a year.
About 2,500,
and at that time the minimum wage was about $1.45 an hour. Okay, so if you worked all year, 40 hours a week or whatever, at a minimum wage, just to pay for school, you would have to work, I think, 4 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and all that would go to if you worked all year, 4 hours a day. Now they figure that now. Minimum wage is $7.25
in some places.
Yale University, now the yearly tuition is now $45,000. So in order, if you had a minimum wage job, in order to put yourself through college, you would have to work 17 hours a day, meaning you'd have to have two jobs and both of them pretty much full time.
Which is why you borrow money.
Yeah.
Now, when I went to the University of Idaho.
Or why you don't go to college.
When I went to the University of Idaho, mm-hmm. I think I paid $740 a semester. Todd shaking his head.
Yeah.
That's a week, man.
Yeah. If that were the case today, everybody would be in college.
And I worked to, pay my board bill, mm-hmm. basically.
Yeah.
You know? So I worked to pay my board bill. Mm-hmm. I hashed and did all that kind of stuff and worked on TV stations, radio stations. But $740 a semester.
Yeah, but it's compared to what people are making in salary, inflation has gone way beyond what it should have.
No question. Now, you said it was $2,500.
Approximately.
It's got to be a semester, not a year.
Possibly a semester, yeah.
Either that or mine was $740 a year.
Could have been.
Yeah, I don't remember which.
Yeah. Well, I saw this over the weekend. I didn't make a note of it, but it just really struck me, though, that in 1970, in order to pay for a full year of college, you worked a minimum wage job for 4 hours a day.
And now 17.
And now it would be 17 hours a day. I don't know what you'd do in your spare time. I suppose sleep.
Yeah. Well, when you're in college, you don't need to do that. KBOI News Time.
Or so a lot of people think.
I tested that theory. KBOI News Time, 9:45. You're listening to Idaho Talks Live. They changed styrofoam cups on us today, and nobody said anything. It's really funny. First thing this morning, I went, man, this cup seems small. My hands are big. And then nobody said anything for like 3 hours, and then Todd goes, are these cups smaller? Yes.
Yeah, and I did,
about
too.
About half the size. Let's go to Jim in Boise. Jim, good morning.
Morning, what's happening?
It's all you.
Huh?
It's all you.
Oh, me? Well, you were talking about, I guess, intergenerational people living together.
Right.
I'll tell you my situation, which was indirectly connected but associated, having to do with real estate. Now, I used to videotape, like, weddings and stuff.
Right.
And I worked out of my house. Most of my stuff, of course, was on location. But my thinking was, why invest in and waste money on a separate piece of real estate? Now, of course, that wouldn't help the economy, and I'm, et cetera. But why would I
helps
want
your economy,
place
though.
That I have to spend money on?
Right. So do you live do your kids live with you?
Nope.
You live with your parents?
Just little old me. I've never been married and don't have kids.
Mm. Yeah. Well, you don't have to worry about it then.
No. No, it's kind of different from that. But, I mean, that's how people, as we all know, used to be.
Yep.
When maybe it was necessary, to work on the farm and everything. And then all of a sudden, and you said, like you say, it's cultural. But back in the 60s, you were weird. I mean, weird if you didn't move out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now maybe it's just a necessity, a sad necessity, I might add.
In the 60s, I mean, it wasn't as widespread as people think, but in the 60s, there were people who were moving out of their parents' house and then moving on to a farm with like 50 other people.
Yeah, communes.
Yeah. I'm kind of I like to think of myself as a conservative hippie. I'm kind of liberal, but I mean, I'm liberated, but I'm conservative.
And, gotcha.
Anyway, we'll take care of y'all.
All right.
Thanks, Jim.
Bye-bye.
There should be a name for that, like Chippy.
Yeah. Let's go to Kevin in Boise. Kevin.
How are you today?
Good.
Good. Hey, I've got a comment on the issue about the number of children and people living at home. There was actually, I think I'm familiar with a study. If you look at the previous peak in this, it was somewhere around 1938, 39 or so. And I would argue it's both kind of cultural and economic driven. Obviously, that was subsequent to the Depression.
Sure.
But also, I would argue that culture is, I kind of see us moving back from a globalization more towards individualism. And if you look at the character of that generation during that time, you kind of saw the same sort of move, having gone through, World War I and then also the Depression. And so I would argue that part of this is also culturally driven, But also from an economic standpoint, if you think about it, this should lead to a higher savings rate, which given the, you know, amount of debt we have, that should help actually help fund the country's debt, too.
Savings would be great, but if you're already, you know, deeply in debt, then savings comes later.
Well, yes, but I mean that's also how you cover that debt.
Yeah, get
obviously.
Out of debt.
True. Right, exactly. And you know, and that debt is, you know, it's on levered debt like debt is on houses. You know, levered debt's a little bit more dangerous because you know, with housing price declines, you know, you're in essence the amount of debt you owe goes up, whereas, you know, most of these people are probably facing credit card debt.
Yep.
And student loan debt, which is an entirely different subject therein.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff, Kevin.
Great.
Thanks. And one thing that I thought of when we were doing this story, people who, you know, in their 50s and 60s who have adult parents who mm-hmm. can't take care of themselves anymore,
mm-hmm.
and they move back in, their parents move back in, so in essence, they are the kids. Does that count in this study?
Probably does.
I think it probably does, too.
Yeah. It's like you said, it was anybody over the age of
multi-generation.
Yeah, anybody over the age of 25 that lived with their parents.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in their parents' house, but it you know, they could be the owner of the house as well.
Yeah. The sharp shift, it says here, let's see how much time I have. Another Pew Research Center study found that from millennials ages 18 to 34, living at home with parents became the most common arrangement in 2014 for the first time in 130 years.
Wow.
The sharp shift reflects a long-running decline in what? Marriage. Nobody's getting married anymore.
Oh, that's a good point, too, yeah.
Which is amplified by the economic upheavals of the Great Recession. The trend has been particularly evident among Americans without college degrees. Maybe a contributing factor to the sluggish growth of the U.S. economy, yada, yada.
Well, you know, getting married, the way the average person does it now costs thousands and thousands of dollars,
oh, yeah.
As does college.
Just for flowers.
And I think there are plenty of kids who are just saying, let's see, anything that costs thousands of dollars, I'm going to do something that doesn't.
Yeah. And, you know, we haven't really heard the recovery from the 2008-2009 recession has been hobbled by historically low levels of home construction, no place to live, and home ownership. So, interesting study. I think I'll move in. No, I won't. Something to think about with Mike Rogers is next, brought to you by Boise Church of Christ, where church is family. Check them out on the World Wide Web at boisechurch.org.